grand day to all. Thank you, BBS, Thomas, Don, Doug. Y'all are awesome subscribers, new subscribers, listeners, and new listeners. We honor and love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. We have a lot to explore today, guys. So, as we are continuing our soul journey through religion, we know that this is quite a sensitive subject. Y'all, we get that. We do, and we honor you all. We also are aware that there are a lot. Now, I feel like Q Trump here. A lot. That's going to come up, by the way. Guys,
Big lay, big huge.
there are a lot of beings of light. There are part they you y'all out there that are part of a religious journey. We comprehend that, and we know that there are multitudes of diverse religions, and that we respect all religions. I just want to share that up front. We all do. These episodes are designed to shine light. I'll just say it, guys. On the controllers of these religious or spiritual institutes. Therefore, it is with great care and our heartful intent that we present our divine perspectives, comprehending religion or religion, part three. And as always, take what you will and leave the rest. And for all the listeners, as for the differences of the word religion versus religion, check out our Soul Germs episode, Divine Perspectives, Exploring Religion, Part 1 and Part 2. This will explain the differences of the words. So I want to give my total, complete love and honor and gratitude always to the Donnie, also known as Merman.
Thank you.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie. Hi,
Hello.
Donnie.
Hello, you lovely ladies. Love to you all and to all the audience. Thank you so much.
The
Thank you.
glorious, the glorious Miss Zaya Leah.
Zaya Wee Kwei is online.
Oh, I love that. Is that an EBS girl? Is soldiers an EBS? Okay, just thought ask. And then there's the dynamic, beautiful Bo in Idaho, who has her own podcast on BBS. So, girl, you want to tell us about your show and where to find it?
I would love to. Well, so there's going to be a switch up, but we are on our regular time tomorrow at 4 o'clock Central, and we are having our very good and wonderful friend Matt Denning return for a live show, and we will be taking call-ins again. That's at 4 p.m. tomorrow. And then the following week, we are slipping into the noon hour on Saturday. There was some vacancies available, so Vicky and I decided to move in. And we haven't decided what we're talking about then, but tomorrow, please join us, call in. We will have a great conversation. And we were talking about what freedom means to you and personal sovereignty, community building, and going forward as we approach our new earth. Thanks for that. Thanks for the spot there, hummy.
Great topic too. Exciting
Thank you.
topic. Yeah.
Wow. And where do they find your show, Bo? Where?
On bbsradio.com at 4 o'clock Central, hit the first, we'll be on station one, so we are just audio. So just hit that little speaker like you did on this show, but tomorrow at four.
Yay. Yes. All tune in if y'all can.
Yeah,
This
fantastic show.
it is. Thank you, Bo. And there's me, Hummy, Corinne, Hummingbird, short for Hummingbird, and she's soul journeying. But wait,
But wait, there's more.
Who do we have joining us for the second time and hopefully the third?
Yay!
As a panelist, girl, we are honored with the one and only Sunshine. And for
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's so good. So good. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It's so good to be here. I am so honored and blessed and just humbled to share this space with you guys. Your subjects are so incredible and do so much good for everybody. So I'm here and I'm excited.
Yay.
You, we're honored, girl. We are so honored. And guys, you can find her unique, and I really mean unique and wonderful show, by going to bbsradio.com/whiplashtalk. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful guests and very heartful discussion. Mm-hmm.
Are you on today, Sunshine, or?
Oh,
I can hear you.
You're on mute.
There we go. Better. Sorry. I am on next week at 2 p.m. Central, like Hami said. Yes.
Yay!
And thank you. It's fun to have unique guests on. And then when you go back to do monologue, you're like, woo, it's all me. It's all me. So
did you fun. Start out monologue?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's incredible monologuing.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
It's your frequency, your conscious gateways, girl. Mm-hmm. So, and you really share mm-hmm. so much incredibleness. I can't even, y'all just hear her. Like you do.
Thank you.
Archives. It is true. It's true. Now, guys, now we'll get a kick out of this one. And maybe y'all remember Paul Harvey. And now, for the rest of the story. I went out myself.
You got it. Harvey. I was raised on that man. Living in Chicago.
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 We are delving deeper into religion and the impact it has on our world. So this subject inspired a lot. Here we go again, of course. I just couldn't help that, guys.
We have the giggles today, guys.
But this is a pretty intense subject, so it's cool to this is cool. Go with the giggles. Go
right.
With
right.
So the first question, can religion and mythology have the same meaning? And I'll just throw out in my heart that these words are definitely synonymous, depending on one's perception on many levels. But really, from my purview, they both have interwoven, if you feel into them, fascinating stories that contain both fiction mm-hmm. and nonfiction aspects. By the way, with the same characters, same behavior, but different names. Does this all sound familiar? It is up to the reader of these ancient, whatever you want to call it, texts, scrolls, glyphs, hieroglyphs, decipher your own perspective. Go within your heart. The one thing I will add is just as we go through this, please just move through and from your heart, listeners, in search for the truth. And there, one will find it in plain sight. Please, please feel that. So, number two, the second question, how is it that both religion and mythology relate in the same characters? Throughout the years of my research into theology, and thank you, Dad, Mom, and Q, what stood out for me is the characters of many, and I mean many, trying to step away from it a lot, seem to appear the same, meaning playing the same roles, yet have different names. Here we go again. And here's a hint, guys. Can they be the same player actors with different names throughout the so-called ages or timelines? Meaning, now here's my weird name, meaning of the same homo energetics. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't help myself. Energy of that being, the same energy, but of a different avatar.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Number three, why are the stories, texts, and documents the same in other cultures, mythologies, and or religion? I mean, okay, here's a good example. Good versus bad, right versus wrong. Those are on a higher scale energetically, yet the style in which these stories are told seem to differentiate. Kind of like a love story in a movie. How many movies have love stories? The characters even seem to be the same, but they're perceived differently from their avatar, yet they have almost the same behavior. So the same but different. And the so-called scholars, clergy, and spiritual leaders, archaeologists, anthropologists, etc., seem to have many different interpretations of the same stories. Could there possibly be a reason for all this misquoted, corrupted information? I would just ask this: can we say control? What? Did I just say that, guy? I guess.
How about programming?
Why does? Here's the fourth question that inspired in me. Why does religion permeate all concepts of our very existence? Guys, it does. It's interwoven economic, political, and socially. And I'm going to jump to a time crunch, like I call it. It's just, I'm going to do an accordion movement here. So economically, for example, a corporation institute makes a profit. He would say that's what they do. What if religious institutes are corporations? So let me just run through this timeline from early Christianity through the Middle Ages. Religious leaders like bishops and popes amass significant wealth through donations, tithing, and estates, often living comfortably. I'm just gonna comfortably, let's put it that way, and wielding influence. Now in the modern times, we can fast forward, if you will, on timelines here. Leaders of mega churches and television angelists or televangelists, ministries, or heads of established denominations, their roles are often funded through corporation institutional wealth. An example, Vatican assets, the church in the Jewish faith, the B'nai B'rith. Gosh, guys, look into that one, et cetera, et cetera. Vatican assets, just feel into that. And often gaining substantial personal income from donations, get this, media ventures and speaking fees, with some, and I wonder why, facing criticism for extravagant lifestyles, raising concerns about financial transparency and spiritual integrity. Y'all think? So I
Don't forget the 10% tithe, which
often.
is a must. That's not a donation. You have to give 10% of your earnings to the church.
Yes, ma'am. Perfect, perfect, both. Thank you. So I really did, growing up, question the alignment of such wealth with their so-called spiritual principles. But wait, there's more, Zaya. It's political interweaving here. So now we've connected the economical, but political, and to me, as our beloved Q states, watch the stage play out in this political arena. And politics, to me, is the mechanism, to me, for organizing societies naturally entwined with religion to legitimize authority, unify population so they get the mask. Is it to justify conflict eventually and gain control? Is my question. But this is what occurs, not all the time. This doesn't happen all the time. Let's put it that way. For people who are really moving within the church, who are leaders, but for political in Aquinas and justifying bringing masses to a controlled mechanism, I can blatantly see it. In ancient times, rulers like pharaohs or emperors were often seen as divine or divinely ordained. They blended spiritual and political power to maintain order. Again, or was it control? The Egyptian pharaohs were not only the leaders, but they were seen as gods as well. In medieval Europe, the Catholic Church wielded immense influence. Oh, can we say Spanish Inquisition, anyone? Crowning kings, queens, and shaping laws. These are just examples. While in other religions, okay, the Islamic caliphates or Hindu kingdoms, religious principles guided, they did guide governance. But this fusion has had dual effects. On one hand, it did foster cultural cohesion, moral codes, and charitable systems. But on the other hand, it enabled control, division, and conflict. Again, just citing the Crusades, the jihads or caste systems rooted in religious political hierarchies. Religion still sways politics. And guys, we can even see it today. We can see this play out in modern debates over abortion, marriages, or national identity. So therein lies the political interweaving of the social. Historically, let's get to that. Religion has been a cornerstone of human culture, offering what? Frameworks for comprehending existence, morality, and community. By going outside, though, guys, to look for these answers, one gives up their own powers and is beholden by choice to outside programs. That's to me. So here's one. Here's a good example. Notice the roles of divisiveness that different religions play that we accepted. So sex within every religion, the spiritual community, the judgments, hate, and distraction. Now we've all heard this ancient concept of whose God is the righteous Kreka. The very aspect of our lives seem to be twined with religions, mythology, or variances of spirituality. And by the way, again, did we allow this to exist? Yep, we certainly did. Five, this is it, guys. And lastly, could there have been manipulation of the ancient text scrolls, drawings, glyphs, and hieroglyphs by the controllers, U.S. Department of Ay, I call them. And for the purposes cited above, to me, the answer, here we go, is a resounding yes. Just attempt to look at the ancient libraries. Just try it, guys. Go to these ancient libraries. Try to look at the texts, the glyphs, the antiquities, sites in Nineveh. Like,
The
for
ones that haven't
example,
been destroyed yet.
yeah, I was just thinking of the Library of Alexandria.
Yep.
ISIS was
Yeah.
mentioned to destroy these museums.
Perfect. And the Library of Nineveh, I believe it was under Ashurbanipal's library, but this was ancient Sumeria. I believe it's Mosul, Iraq. Consider Mosul a lot. Try and get there. It's already been taken out in many different ways, or below the Egyptian pyramids, below the Vatican, below, we keep saying,
Hidden.
yep, thank you, honey, hidden, the Smithsonian Institute or the Museum of Natural History. Let's, et cetera.
The
You one cannot find these ancient texts and
truth.
antiquities in the name of what? Blasphemy, preservation. This goes on, et cetera. This is but a minuscule, I couldn't help myself, tip of the spear examples. So do your own research. And the last thing I'll leave y'all with here and yield is there's a quote, a beautiful quote by Erica Stanton. This is what Erica said. There is one thing more powerful than bombs, and that's the manipulation of the narrative. And I Thank you, Asha, for this quote. In the article titled The Art of the Deal in For the People dot space, dated 25 June 2025. And guys, please all hop in on this one.
That was loaded with a lot to
Dissect.
consider. Yeah, but it was great. I feel like it was great information that could ping, excuse me, that could ping a lot of people's awarenesses and on something to consider, when it comes to the things that we have been told. Just keep
Dogma,
it,
anyone?
yeah, just keeping in mind all of religion is what we've been told from someone outside of us. So.
Exactly. And then something I'd like to address, Corinne mentioned, did we allow this to happen? Yes, I feel to some extent, but I also feel like we have been programmed
Yeah.
over and over and over again, to where I was having a conversation with my friend Ian in Wales yesterday about, talking about America because he lives in Wales and they have football. Well, we have football too. They're a different kind. But for Americans, it's like, let's watch our Sunday game and get the big case of beer and we're good. We don't really delve into to things deeper. And
Yeah.
that's a huge generalization. I'm aware of that. But have we been programmed to where we just roll over? And like going back to
Yeah.
the doctrine, I think people really get caught up in the dogma of religion. And again, is that because we've been programmed like that? And we've mentioned before on our show on different episodes about being reset. And how many times have we been stepped on? There's six, seven times. Is this version of human, as our friend Q would call it? We've been so programmed over and over again. So did we accept it? Yes, but did we really have a choice if we've been programmed to accept it? And one other thing I'd like to say, and then I'll pass, is keeping us divided through, you were talking about the religious wars and all that, Corinne, keeping us divided through religion, through sexual preference, through skin color, race, creed, the whole nine is part of what the controllers that you mentioned, or the custodians or the aliens, have perpetrated on mankind to keep us divided, because united we stand, divided we fall. If everybody just gave up all of their thoughts and beliefs, with that word lie right in the middle of that word, and said, we're all humans, let's come together. We are the many, they are the few, and their ass would be grass, and I yield.
Period.
Exclamation point, girl.
I say one thing? Just
Of
to
course.
follow that with both.
Absolutely.
The acceptance of this. I really believe we accepted it only from the unknowingness that it was really going on, due to this incremental changes of our that are implied to the to program us. So we really don't, we're not aware of it until we change our perception, which we've talked about in past shows about doors to perception. And really quick, I mean, I did not see a lot of this until Corinne and I moved out of the country into a very 98% Catholic society and
Ecuador.
in Ecuador. It is very similar to all countries in South America. Totally conquered by Catholicism, and wow, was it brutal. But anyway, when they did so, I mean, you converted or you died. Well, that's not a loving God, put it that way. Anyway, that's in the past. But the thing is that You're not, we saw it differently because we were out of our homeland and we saw it from a different perception. But the people living there did not. And so they were still enslaved by a lot of the Catholic doctrine and control. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. But great point there, both.
I add to that, having a similar experience in Morocco, being a Muslim country, and every day hearing the prayer at 5 a.m. or whatever that was, whatever time it was, over the loud horn, and the prayer happened every morning. It was pretty cool to have the experience. But the idea of think about this in this perspective or feel into this, the idea of a broadcast of a prayer over a community of people, and this is just Marrakesh, but it's probably, I'm sure, in different sectors of the that area, and leaving people with no room to choose, even though the choice is within you. The choice isn't in the broadcast, but the programming is in the broadcast. So as people are, or individuals are probably wanting to see something differently, every morning at 5 a.m., there is a loop back into the program. And so, and that, and it isn't, of course, to point a bad finger or anything like that. It's just to be aware of what is happening and why. Why wouldn't I be able to choose what I want to accept? Why is there a broadcast of a prayer over an entire country or area? Why are these things happening? So I'll yield there.
I think I'll jump in. How's that?
Go, girl.
I am going to come at it from a different perspective, but picking up where you were talking in your first question about can they be one and the same? And I love your new word, homo energetics. That's hilarious. I love it. Coming from the Christian background, we were taught that Satan, however we want to say that word, was created with the pipes in him. He was the worship leader in heaven, and so the pipes were in him. And so he emanated music. He was the instrument. And so when we were taught in Christianity that Satan and a third of his angels with him were cast out of heaven for starting a rebellion. I'm just going to go into kindergarten terms so we can get through this. Starting a rebellion, they were cast to earth. And then there's another scripture in the Bible that says that the prince, and this is good for BBS to hear, the prince of the power of the air was basically Satan. And so he controls the airwaves, television, radio, broadcast, anything that goes across. All of that that's going out, mainstream media, all of that. So they have to disclose what they're doing before they do it. And so all of this is there, but people just read over this stuff and they don't really pick up on it. And so is Christianity the end all be all thing? No. I like you. You do you. You be you, boo. You do your thing. But you got to know what you're reading and you got to understand what's out there. And so, why do we get hit so hard whenever we're doing broadcasts that are making a difference? Why do we have technical issues? Why does our station consistently get hit? Because they're not censoring truth. So, with that, yes, I do believe they can be one and the same. And I do believe that there are energetics that have shared space in many, I'm going to say earth suits, and I'll yield at that.
And that was a great point. Oh, go ahead, Bo.
That's okay. I'd like to approach the word mythology. I know Corinne was brought up learning about Greek and Roman mythology, and when I was younger, I really loved it. I really dove into it. Right now, I homeschool my granddaughter, and we're reading Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and it's pretty prevalent. So the word mythology has taken on something to be, oh, it's just a story. It's just make believe. Well, the people at the time didn't think it was a myth. That's what they were living. And then when you go and you look, the Greeks predated the Romans, and they were around for hundreds of years. And then the Romans took them over and said, hey, we really like your gods. They just used the same gods and gave them different names. And if you look throughout the known world, you'll probably see that there's a lot of similarities
You
in the different
mean
gods and
a
the lot.
lot?
And
I couldn't even tell.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the God of the Middle East, so that encompasses Christianity, it encompasses Judaism, and it encompasses Hinduism, or not Hinduism, Muslim, excuse me. It's the same God. It is the same God. He looks a lot like Zeus to me. That if you look at the if you look at the Old Testament and you look at Zeus, they look really similar, and I'll yield at that one.
Or you could even look at rabbis. Oh, they. No, I'm joking. I have the Jewish background, guys. So,
Zoroaster and Jesus.
oh,
Oh,
snaps.
yeah.
Another one that's
They're,
incredible.
yeah, they, I think we're going to talk about that coming up.
Yeah, that's good.
Go for it. Go
Yeah.
for it.
Zion
Cool.
or Sunshine Deep Bow, excellent. Y'all, this is so fun. Go for it, guys.
I say bring up Spiro Agnew. Let's bring that up.
Spiro
Teasing. I'm teasing.
Agnew.
No. You were talking about the different. I guess just pick it back up, Merman. I like what you were talking about and where you were going and talking about, people in Sunday school on the felt board when I was growing up, and this is just my background. And so when I was growing up, you had the felt board and you had the little felt Jesus and you had the little felt sheep and you had the little felt, shepherd with the shepherd's crook and all of that. And then you had this picture of this long-haired, very light-skinned Jesus. But where did Jesus come from? He came from the Middle East.
He's Arabic.
He's Arabic. And when Bo's saying, it's the same God, I'm sure people out there are like, whoo, blasphemy, like, what? But I think if we could even expound on that further, if we even get deeper to that, it's the same source energy is what she's saying. It's the same entity, it's the same being. And then man has taken what was taught by person and taught by source and has written it into what pigeonholes into their society or into what is comfortable for them. So I think, Bo, you're spot on that. I think people are probably, I'm going to tell you, okay, I'm going to go on a side story here. When I did the Flat Earth Dave show, when he came on and we did the interview, later he posted that show on his social media and all of that. And one of the comments, and you guys know my background. I mean, I was in leadership. I was in there serving in the church. And one of the people commented like, that woman needs to meet Jesus. She needs some Jesus. And I'm like, been there, and I
there,
actually,
done that.
and I've really actually talked to him. So hey,
Yeah.
so I didn't
He's
answer.
been on your show.
Yeah, he's been on your show.
How do you
So
tell someone that?
I didn't even comment. I just giggled and moved on. I thought, yes, I do. And he's actually fabulous. So anyway, all of that to say, the more that we get into this walk and the more that we realize that, I don't know, I used it on my show last time, that we're the ants in the acrylic ant form and that we're kind of in this little farm. I'm trying to be kind, that we're in a farm. And
A
that when,
simulation, how's that?
yeah, and I've unplugged my holodeck, by the way. Eight left. But now that we're kind of becoming more enlightened to this, and like we started out with Zaya and Bo, all of you guys, what you were saying about how we were programmed to believe this from even before we came out of the womb. I mean, it's in our genetics. It's been repeated. And so for us to start becoming enlightened and going, oh, wow. Wow. Say that backwards. It's like, how do we get around this? And so it's hard to put kind of a bad term, but the genie back into the bottle. You can't get that genie back into the bottle. And so I think what we're doing here with part one, part two, part three, the series of is trying to we love and respect you all, and we respect you where you are in your walks, but have you thought? Have you studied? Have you dug? Have you questioned? And that's kind of, and I'll yield at that.
Right. How do we?
Excellent.
Yeah, that little ant farm, you know, those are the walls we've been in, enslaved in to control us with this thing.
Yes.
Farm is a contained area, right? So,
Yes.
but we haven't been taught to unleash our spirituality, and that's what we need to do. So how do we break on through? So we've been talking a lot about the constraints of religion, but how do we break on through to that's coming from your shaft of source in our heart and everywhere.
Very good.
That's excellent. I would just, remind everyone that the answers are in our faces, really. I mean, I remember, and that this is going to turn the conversation a little bit, but not because it's the same thing. But I remember being in a courtroom for a ticket, and I'm sitting there like, why does this look like church? Because you have the pews, and then you have the
Yep, the pulpit.
pulpit with
Yep.
the judge who comes in and all rise, okay, offering. We're in here because we have to pay a quote debt, and on top of that, why would God need money? I mean, is God broke? So all the kind of things like the 10% and all of that, like to really, I'm being funny about it, but it's really just to invite questioning, like allow that question, because I know how it could feel when you start to question, then you get that ping or that pullback or that notification that says, why are you doubting? The epigenetic information starts to rise to loop you back into the storyline. Well, if we allow ourselves to just see what is literally in front of us, like being in the courtroom looks like a church. There is literally an aisle. I'm sitting in a pew. I'm looking forward. Instead of looking at like candles or whatever, I'm looking at flags, but the setting is the same. Why does this scene in this setting look like church? Why? Wait, tell me that.
That's really
So,
good. It
yeah,
is really
so
good.
it's like, that kind of thing. I love, for us to remember to allow, and that's the part. It's the questioning that, quote, they don't want. Because when
That's
you
good.
start to ask the question, you already have the answer. The question
It's
is bringing
within.
the answer forward.
That's really
It's
good.
all within you. And I think
I'd
I
like to
saw your
add
hand
too.
up. I'm sorry, Sunshine, but I just want to say real quick, it's all within you. So take what you see, go within, and might I also suggest go out in nature. Go out in nature.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that, going back to what Zaya was talking about, because in the Bible, there's the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And it's kind of like it's kind of like the same thing. When you walk into courtroom, you're kind of like outer court, and then when you go through the swinging gate, inner court, and then like the Holy of Holies is where the judge sits, and he rules. And you were taught that, only the priests could go in, and they tied bells, they sewed bells on the bottom of their hems, because that way, if they fell in the presence or were struck down because they were not pure, they had a rope tied around their leg, and they could be pulled out of the Holy of Holies. And so it's this whole fear thing of God bad and we not holy. And like Bo is saying, you're going to the outside for everything. You're not going to the inside. You're not going within. And talking about the tithe, and then after this I will yield. I will not monopolize this show. So go ahead.
Oh, no, go
I got
ahead.
girl.
Yeah. We love hearing you. No, I don't feel that at all. Just keep talking. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Yes. Oh,
You
girl.
guys are so sweet.
We
So I love you. And
love
so talking about the
you.
holy, talking about the whole the tithe, it, like Bo was saying earlier, it's like mandatory. That's like your duty. It's mandatory. But they were taught, at least I can only speak for me, but you're taught your blessing, your blessing is in the above and beyond the 10%. So you don't even get a blessing for the 10%. How many people in their budgets today can really honestly give comfortably a 10%? And you're supposed to give, you pay your tithe and you give above. So you pay your tithe, right? And that is with a good, clear, pure heart. And then the offering is above and beyond. And that is with a pure heart. And if it's not given with a pure heart, then your blessing is not there. But yet, if you need to get out of debt, you're supposed to pay your way out of debt, which there's a true principle to that, but I'm also talking about what is taught in what we're talking about. And so, wow, you just once you get out and you go, how was I as such an intelligent person so blind? How was I so bamboozled? And there are so many, like on my show, whenever I was talking to our friend and a beautiful mermaid. Whenever we were talking, and they had an experience where they were invited to go to a church, and they went, and everything about what they were doing was beautiful. And our friend Mermaid was talking about how beautiful everybody was, and their hearts were pure, and light was in them. And then at the very last, they went outside of themselves to pray as opposed to going within. It was just that one little notch, if they just turned it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that's great. What you just said about how could you, as a intelligent person, be bamboozled? My brother was just here this last week, and he and his wife visiting, and they stayed at my house. And I was in the Christian church for 10 years. I mean, born again, fundamentalist, speaking in tongues, the whole nine for 10 years, 16 to 26. And my brother asked me the same question. He said, "Oh, you're so intelligent. How did you ever get sucked into all that?" And I told him, I had a broken family. My mom died when I was 12. My dad remarried an abusive woman who took it out on me because I'm the oldest, yada, yada, yada. We all have a story. And I said I was looking for a replacement family. And I thought I found it in that. And I just got sucked in and I started believing all the fear mongering, and I'll yield.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of funny. I was raised, I mean, coming out of the womb, smack, you're a Christian. Oh, okay. Okay, here we go. But my mother was the sweetest, most beautiful source light that I can't even begin to tell you how beautiful she was. But she was in the Christian church, and she was starting to become more enlightened before she passed. And I have on this shirt, but I have it kind of a rebellious way. But it was a shirt I got her like the Christmas right before she passed. I don't even think she even wore it, but I got it back. And it says, "Be a Mary in a Martha world." And it has the scripture written on it. But it talks about, and especially with where I am in my career right now, I am 110% Martha at work. It's the demands of the job. But Mary was the one that always sat at the feet of Jesus. She didn't care about if the dishes were done. She didn't care about if the meal was cooked. She didn't care about if the toilets were scrubbed. back then, you know what I'm telling you. But Martha was the one that was worrying about, okay, I've got to cook a meal, and I've got to peel the potatoes, and I've got to sweep the floor, and I've got to make the bed, and I've got to wash Jesus' feet. And she was so caught up in all of the world, the outside. But Mary was going within. She wanted what was inside. And like I say, there's always truth. There's always truth. You've got to find it. And so I wore this to work the other day just because I'm like, you got to remember, you got to be the Mary, because I'm having, you know, that living in the now. I've got to be in the now. And so it's just kind of a, it was kind of a little ha-ha for me going, yes, I'm going to be the Mary today, not the Martha. So anyway, I yield.
Wow, do you articulate that well?
Yeah, I like
Yes, very well.
Thank you.
very much. That's our duality, huh?
Oh man,
Yeah.
so true. So
I
true.
just hop in and say that, you know, as our friend Q, Jesus, what Zoroaster, how many names can we place on this beautiful being? But what would he ask? So we're the victim and we're not the victim. Let's get that right. He asked that early on with Asha, you know, speaking to him. And yes, and yes. However, if we're not the victim, therein lies that beautiful light of the light path for me. It's like a shaft of light that shows me direct. And if we slow down for me, and that's important for me, you guys, y'all know me, and go within, really focus into the heart and search. And as you said, Bo, and just the observation, Zaya, I love that you brought up the court that replicates somewhat of the church aspect. We're not just the church, the
Structure.
spirituality, the structure. Thank you, honey. And the fact, and Donnie, and Sunshine, and you will all mention this, just feel into that heart aspect. Go into nature. Feel that sun. Feel your heart. And one will find it in plain sight. Zaya, how did you find it? How did you find it, Bob? How did Merman find it? How did Sunshine find it? How did I find it? Yes, you guys are absolute about the epigenetic aspect of us. The DNA,
Right.
we're human, what? 10.0, 8.0, whatever. But, and this was programmed within, deep within our epigenetics to follow
Right.
that ultimate dark being, Saturn, Satan, Saturn.
Right. Yeah,
I'm throwing that
we're
at you.
never victims. We've always had choices somewhere along the
There
way.
you go.
Right.
How did you all find your way? How did you find your path outside of religion, but within your own homo energetics?
Questioning.
Did you, that, how is it that beings like us found it, but others will not or choose? Because it's a choice. Ultimately, you can break that programming code, that genetic coding. We can do it. It's a choice. That's it, guys.
Yeah,
Yeah.
well, we question. That's the, a question like you once said. Hey, you know, that's not a new concept. Moody Blues, 67. Question. Justin
Question.
Hayward. Why do we never get answers while we're knocking on the door about hate, death, and war? Yeah, it's been engineered.
Because that's going outside of yourself, knocking on the door, because you're looking for answers from somebody else, and there are, everything's within you. We are beings of light, and it's all within. I don't know. It's been years. I've had a realization. You know, gurus need not apply. I don't need anything on the outside. It's inside of me, and it's over the years that you become more and more aware of the light within you, and how to, I guess, approach it. I don't know the exact right word, but once you have that realization that you do not need to listen to a man behind a pulpit, or here's another thought I had is, you know, we're talking about like a religion, but religion can be anything. Somebody could be religious about football. Somebody could be
Yeah.
religious about music. It's all, dogma is an established opinion. It's a belief held definitively without the possibility of reform. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be going to a church or a mosque or a temple or anything else. You can make your dog a religion. But that's all going without outside of yourself when we are divine fractals of source. We're creator gods. We are. And that when you have that realization, you can't unsee it, you can't go back.
Aren't we the ether, the beautiful plasma, we're the water, we're this electromagnetic circuit board, if you will, but in a beautiful corporeal sense, we're so much more than, I'm going to say it, Donnie knows, a tick on a flea's ass or a flea on a tick. I am not sure which way to go that way, but to me, they're one and the same. And this is what we were taught. Sorry for the crudeness.
Don't want to know which way.
I think ticks are bigger. For some reason, I think ticks are bigger.
A flea on a tick's butt. Okay, we're going to go with that one. Thank you both. But we are so much bigger. We are homo illuminis, guys. We're so beautiful. We are connected to source, but our gateway, our beautiful conscious gateways and portals reside within our own heart center. That's the beauty of it all. We don't need to go outside and give up our power and our literal light and beauty to the parasitical controllers, the institutes, the corporations. And I'll just say that, guys.
Go ahead, Zaya.
No, I was just sitting with that. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Sitting with it.
I agree. I, coming from what I came out of, take all of this in and say, how does the listener that's listening right now today, that doesn't understand, that doesn't get it, and that has been taught that we are, as my Bill would have said, the cheese done slid off our cracker. Like, you guys are cray cray. You guys are evil and you guys are wicked. So I'm not listening to you anymore. How do we get past that? How do we teach them and how do we guide them and lead them to going within? It took me forever to even understand what that meant. I'm like, what does that even mean? What, go within, go within. And I'm like, how do we be the bridge people? How do we bridge that between the ones that know and the ones that don't know and help them to understand what was beautifully and eloquently put by each of you on what it's like to be there, but as Whiplash Talk was birthed, what if they're not there yet? How do we get them there? And so I'm going to yield and ask you guys, how would you do that?
Is it about getting someone there, or that they first want desire and step into it? And so for this platform, or yours, or Bo's, or oh shoot, we have 3 minutes left. So for this plat, that's, you know what? You wrapped up our part six, girl.
Six. Wait. Next is isn't four come
Sunshine.
after three?
Yeah, we've got, oh, I'm sorry. We have a part four and then a part five. So it's part five. So this is to
That's
be
coming.
continued on a part five, because you hit it, Sunshine.
That's
That's
what
the
we.
exclamation at the end of the sentence, if you will, the beautiful exclamation. So, hey, that's coming. You guys are incredible. And I yield. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful question.
That one's going to take a little more time to get in.
Yes,
Yes.
right.
Time goes so fast.
Cliffhanger.
You got to come back next show.
I can't leave it hanging and walk away. I can't just drop the mic and go, mic drop.
Right.
I love it. So we love you guys. Go ahead, Zaya, because we're gonna have to end this. We're wrapping it.
Closing
And we
comments?
love you. Go for it, guys. Go, Zaya.
No, I didn't really have anything. I was just, saying, just being funny, saying cliffhanger, you have to come back next show. You have to listen in. You have to tune in.
I have a joke to end with. It's really fast. Okay, so we're talking about religion, and reincarnation is part of religion, right? It's part of dogma. So the hippo was in the pond and he looked up and he said, I said hippie.
That was
That's
beautiful.
awesome.
Oh, we love
There,
you all.
I said it, Ian. I hope you're listening.
Aw, we hope
I love
so.
you guys.
Aw, we love you.
Thank you,
Love you
everyone. It was
too.
an
Thank you,
honor to be
Thomas.
here.
Love you,
Thank
Thomas. Thank you,
you.
BBS. Thank you, listeners and subscribers.
Yes.
See you in 2 weeks.
Too and all. As always, the Merman. Thank you for all.
Thank you.